I
Pretty
noticed.
sure. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure based on her house, the layout, that she's not on the toilet.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
What episode are we on?
71?
Set
31, 32.
Let's go with it. It's our post-Denver Comic-Con Nerdcast. We're winding down season 4. It is episode, we're pretty sure 32, because Adam's throwing up a 2. He's throwing up a deuce.
He's just saying peace.
Oh, sorry. That was a gang sign, yeah.
Oh, my bad. My bad. All right. So it is, yeah, we just all got back from wherever we were from Denver Comic Con.
We were all in Denver.
Yeah.
We all got back to where we were going. Whatever.
We were all together. Now we're all separate.
Yeah, it was a long weekend. Let's just put it that way. 101,500 people, final attendance.
Crazy.
Aaron, there's something on the rim of your glass.
It's chocolate.
Somebody shat all over the rim of your glass.
That ain't what you want.
No. Anyways, yeah, 101,500 final attendance. For sure, we'll probably put them in the top 5 comic conventions of the year. They're thinking it'll put them in number 3. I don't know. They're thinking behind San Diego and New York, but I think Salt Lake will probably come in higher. And Phoenix this weekend coming up always competes with that number as well. So either way,
many people.
Yeah, either way, when you think of all 5 of those shows, you're talking hundreds of thousands of people. So a lot of people in Denver.
Bringing that many?
Yeah, New York actually surpassed San Diego this past year, even.
Yeah.
Last year. So, yeah, New York was one of the ones I said. But, so how did y'all feel about that? I know Saturday, pretty hard to walk around.
Oh, it was hard to move all 3 days.
You couldn't. Well, Sunday was a little bit better. I mean, or sorry, I can't get, my days are all screwed up since they did a Saturday through Monday. Monday was a little bit easier to move around.
A fun show. As always, Denver is always a fun show. I think so, at least.
It's a fun show.
Showa is. Wow, are we all just like dead from this weekend?
I guess so.
I'm tired.
Man.
I drove after the show and didn't get home till like 12:30. I'm pretty wore out. And I was at work all day today.
I just got home like an hour or two ago. So
same here.
I almost fell asleep at 2:30, so it was a tough day, and I didn't even drive all night. But yeah. But besides the driving, it was a fun show. Before that, I think 3 exciting days. We had a lot of great things going on. I sent about 8 or 9 audio files to Optimistic Gamers, so you'll see their next couple podcasts will be filled with Denver Comic Con content. Aaron, you and Dr. Beth sat down and recorded a couple at the convention episodes of Modern Sex, the new podcast that's actually picking up some pretty good steam. You guys have eclipsed 100 listeners already.
What?
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Like per episode?
Well, between the 2 episodes that have aired. But
okay.
Still that's still awesome. Impressive.
Yeah.
I hear what's blowing up in the streets right now, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, we did about 12 interviews ourselves, some great interviews with some creators, authors, some even stuffed animal makers.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think it was a good.
There were a bunch of those this year. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Love those tentacle kitties.
Yeah, we got a couple stuffed animal maker interviews there too, huh? Tyler talked to the dragon lady. What was her name?
The dragon lady. Daenerys Targaryen.
No.
Her name is. Her last name is Morrow. I don't have my book in front of me.
Hold on.
No. He does.
It doesn't say her name, though, does it? It says Dragon Lady Art. I don't.
There you go.
Carla Morrow. Yeah, Carla.
Carla. There you go.
Yep. Perfect. So she made these. If we do release any video clips, I'm holding up a bookmark that shows the little stuffed dragon. Kind of cute, I guess. So the same thing as Tentacle Kitty, which we also did an interview for, and we've seen Tentacle Kitty at every convention we've done this year already. But both ideals were just drawn out of sketches and family and friends encouraging them to turn them into stuffed animals, and they threw it on Kickstarter, and boom, there it was. Yeah, so Tyler has pulled up because he definitely has to share his screen at some point in every episode. Now that we
I
have
love video. It.
Even if we're not sharing the video yet with our listeners, he definitely has to share it. But he's pulled it up too.
It's way easier for me. I have 2 monitors, so I can do 2 things at once.
Well, it's awesome because then we can see it too. It's a good discussion topic.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Like on the Tentacle Kitty, they sold about 1,000 a day.
What?
Really?
They said they've been selling about 1,000 a day.
They're making $1 billion.
They are.
I mean, I don't know about that. But.
The Kickstarter was what, like 500, 600%? And then at each convention, they sell out daily. Luckily, they are regional to the Denver area, but they literally had to travel home at the end of each day to go restock because they just didn't have enough. They sold out of their shirts on the first day, their comics on the first day. Yeah. The Tentacle Kitty stuff is crazy.
Yeah.
Makes me want to make a stuffed animal of myself.
Yeah, but just like
Let's make a stuffed Aaron.
Every other Project Nerd Kickstarter, it'll go.
That doesn't sound quite right.
A stuffed Aaron?
I don't know what to do. And then they could have stretch goals for the different costumes. So there could be like the Catwoman.
Yeah, Aaron. Make a Catwoman of me.
And then stretch goals could be like the Rufio and Tank Girl. And
make a stretch Armstrong of me, a stretch Catwoman.
And as a stretch goal or as
their doll?
Clever.
Yes.
Clever.
Yes.
Clever
but
girl.
Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't you guys all want to be turned into a Stretch Armstrong doll? Like, let's say you could buy the whole cast in Stretch Armstrong.
No.
I'm good.
No.
What's wrong with you people?
I like the idea of what Tyler went with this weekend. He wanted somebody to do a 3D like printing of our Reservoir Dogs with the Catwoman logo for the Nerdcast.
That's dumb.
I think that would be awesome sitting on our table.
Statuette.
Awesome. Are stupid, but let's make 3D printing.
I'm just amazed at what gets does so well on Kickstarters.
Adam's got pussy all over his screen right now.
No, you said it.
Oh. I didn't know it was that kind of video.
Yeah,
sorry, it's my cat.
Stuff animal, or you're saying, Bob, stuff animals on Kickstarter?
I'm just surprised what succeeds on Kickstarter anymore and what doesn't.
It's all about getting that getting that somebody that picks it up or somebody that just shares it with the right group of people and it just takes off.
You got to get that parent money.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We need to target our stuff towards kids more, I guess. All right, we're cleaning this episode up.
Oh, dang. Darn it.
Good job. Yeah. That means we'll probably have to mute Tyler the rest of the episode, though.
No more F-bombs. We're all out. We're making it PG.
Go fuck yourself.
Wow. we played it early, kids. We played it early. I got a stopwatch going. We're less than 8 minutes in, and we've already dropped it. So
there we go.
There you go.
Actually, I feel bad.
We're nothing if not official.
I really needed to save it for the catastrophe that is
Point Break
2015.
Jeez, so stupid.
I really wanted, if at the end of the trailer he would have somehow looked like Keanu Reeves and would have just flew to the ground and just shot into the air and yelled, I would have been like, all right, I'm ready to see this. Let's do this.
But the only thing right was the slightly flat affect. That's about it. Like, oh, you have no emotion about what's going on. Okay, I get it. You're trying to be Keanu Reeves, but you're not, so just stop it.
Well, and it's like there's remakes and then there's remakes. Like, very rarely are they ever good or better than the original, unless the original was just like a cult classic and campy and terrible, and then they make a slick, better version of it. But this one, like, but at least usually, but most remakes that do well, it's like you take the premise and you kind of use the premise again. But like this one, obviously it's not like just bank robbing in the US, but I mean, they straight up gave all the characters like the same names and stuff like that. Like his name is Agent Johnny Utah and stuff like that. Like,
well,
really then, even trying.
The thing is these aren't normal people. These are extreme athletes myself.
The trailer plays like a GoPro commercial. It's literally like watching a GoPro.
It really
commercial.
Does. Yeah.
Well, at least they gave them the same names. I mean, the new Poltergeist, basically it's the same story, but completely different names. There's no Carol Ann, it's kind of, why bother?
I think Tyler's making the complaint the other way though. He's saying you just like couldn't even write in new names on this. Like you guys got lazy enough for like, what's the names on the original one?
Well, for me, the problem with it is Point Break. I enjoy that movie. But it is more than the sum of its parts. So, like, if you look at all of the pieces, you're like, all right, the story's all right. The acting, that's fine. The directing's fine. But, like, you take it as a movie, No, that's what I mean. You take it as a whole movie, I get way more enjoyment out of it than I probably should.
True.
And the problem is if you take the exact same script and you just do it again, you're not going to hit on that formula. It's not going to hit again. It got lucky to hit the first time. So what they're going to get now is just the crappy movie that Point Break actually was, but for whatever reason, it was really much better than it should have been. And now we're going to get just that crappy movie, and that's not what I want.
But there's that one guy that nobody knows his name from Gone in 60 Seconds.
Delroy Lindo.
I was just joking.
Everyone knows Delroy Lindo.
Everybody knows that name, yeah.
I didn't know his name.
I know his name, but I don't remember him from Gone in 60 Seconds. So.
Yeah.
He's the guy
who didn't talk.
Oh, no. Whoa, no, not the same guy.
I don't know who's that guy.
Aaron, have you seen this movie? Are you sure that you know what movie we're talking about?
Not only are those two guys not from the same country, their skin color isn't even matching. So.
And what's his name's his partner in Gone in 60 Seconds, who went on to become way more famous? Who's his partner? Delroy's partner.
Was it Oliphant?
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Okay, are you okay? Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Because you just went through a wall.
Yeah, best part of that whole movie.
No, I love Delroy Lindo.
Yeah. But anyway, so besides the disaster that is Point Break 2015, well, can we make shirts that say I survived Point Break 2015?
Yeah, but I'm not going to watch it. That movie needs to not exist.
See that movie, so
first
not-
of all, I'm going to see it, but it'll be sometime in late 2016. But,
why?
Oh, because, come on. You know we got to watch it at some point.
No.
Everybody's, all of us have got to watch it at some point.
I am way more for watching the original.
That's my point. Sometime late in 2016 when it's on Netflix.
I feel like it's like blasphemy.
I feel like it's probably going to hit video a little bit earlier than late. I'm just saying it's one of those ones that if I had to make a guess, number one, it comes out on Christmas. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's probably going to be a few bigger movies that come out Christmas.
Yeah.
Second of all,
I can't remember the name of it that we're all really excited.
And I can't
some movie coming out.
It's a little independent film,
and I can't see it being successful enough that they're not going to push that to on demand and DVD as soon as humanly possible.
I feel like the movie is going to be something that, something is going to smell bad, and you don't want to smell it, and yet you do because you're curious, and then you do, and then you're really upset about it.
Train wrecks are always
That's exactly what it is.
Can't look away.
Nope.
Speaking of movies, action movies, John Wick's $15 at Target right now.
That's a
win. Speaking of upcoming action movies, it's pretty much a done deal now that Robert Rodriguez of Sin City fame is going to be making a live-action Johnny Quest movie.
Oh, that'd be good. I love Johnny Quest.
I'm down for that. Because Robert Rodriguez is able to do both sides. He plays the action, really, really rated R action movies very well. But he's had a very big run with was it Troublemaker, right?
Yeah.
He's had a really good run with his movies that were targeted for his children specifically, but for kids in general.
Well, I mean, the original Spy Kids and some of the other ones are really good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that they hit their audience, but like you said, they're action packed, they're adventurous.
More than just a kids movie. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a good film that's just directed at children. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think he could do a lot of good things with this.
A friend of mine and I were just actually, it's funny that this came up today because literally like a week and a half ago, we were talking about things we'd like to see maybe done today as a live action film. And Johnny Quest was one of the first things we talked about. And then how would you play it today's world? And I think it's going to be, I'm not going to pass any judgment until we see something from it, but there's some tricky stuff to do with that one. Just because I don't know how, if you play it as ridiculous as some of the villains were in that with Dr. Zinj and stuff, but number one, how do you make Haji not a super racist character sidekick? Yeah. And number two, how do you play up the – it's not as overt in the cartoon as they would like to make it seem on like Harvey Birdman or Venture Brothers, but how do you play up the very odd relationship between I'm assuming Widow, Dr. Quest, and Race Bannon? So,
yeah.
We just have this big burly guy who just kind of hangs out around us all the time. He's our bodyguard.
I think this day and age, though, that like they can play into that more, and it's like everybody would know, like it's no big deal. But yeah, the first one, yeah, gotta watch that racism line there a little bit.
Are you literally gonna have a kid running around wearing a turban?
Yeah,
following around.
Right. I think they'll probably take the turban off.
I'm just saying, we have blonde hair, blue eyed hero kid being chased around by his turban wearing sidekick. I don't see that playing well. Either that or worse, they'll cast him as another white kid, and then everyone will be upset that they couldn't.
Oh yeah, they'll lose their mind.
They couldn't cast an Asian kid to play him.
No winning there for Robert Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, it's real tough. That's going to be real tough. Maybe they'll just kill him off early, and it'll be a revenge story. That way they don't have to really deal with it. Just boom, like opening credit scene, just done.
But then they're like, why you gotta kill the Middle East guy early on? Why you gotta kill the
story? It's the revenge. Fallen comrade.
There you go, revenge factor.
So I know we've spun off on movies, and that's a really exciting one, but I do want to pull us back into Denver Comic Con for a little bit, because I wanted to get what y'all's favorite points of this past weekend were. All at once.
Yeah, no, not all at once. I'm talking. Dang it. To me. No, mine was, I spent most of my time at the booth, so mine was just actually the number of people that came up that, one, knew who we were, and two, listened to our podcast, quote, all of the time. Like, that whole situation just is, it's still very much surreal. Like, no, come on. That's really, really sweet of you to say, but you don't have to lie to me. It's okay. You can tell me you've never heard of who we are.
You know who we're talking, you know, if you're listening right now, which
yes,
assumedly you are, you know who we're talking about.
Right. You guys made my weekend for sure. So being there and getting to, you know, one, now you know what I look like, so you can ignore me completely when I talk. but getting to meet you guys and knowing that, you know, hey, this is something that people enjoy, that it's just unbelievably cool. So thank you. And that was fantastic.
Yeah, Baba. It was.
Oh, I mean, for me, definitely. I mean, I spent literally the entire weekend running around the floor in the lobby taking pictures. There was some pretty impressive cosplay there.
I concur.
A lot of good stuff out there. Just
what was your favorite, Bob?
Man,
put you on the spot, buddy.
That's tough. There was, like I said, there was just a lot.
What about the condom dress lady?
Oh God, yes. yeah, that was probably the most original thing I've ever seen. A woman dressed up as a female Captain America, and you know, it looked great. You know, it looked like a regular dress. When you look at it closer, though, you realize that her entire costume was made of condoms, red, white, and blue condoms.
And when I was told about this, when you said about this, I was imagining the packages, but they were totally out of the packages.
They were out of the package.
Empty condoms.
There were some that were rolled that made the shield, and then the skirt was made of the unraveled condoms. And I do have one of the pictures, and hopefully you'll get it in the gallery. It's really
going in one of the galleries. Don't worry.
It's really impressive. That's just.
Would you
really
say she's ready to protect America?
I think she is.
Come on, I've been working on that one for a long time. Oh man,
that's a good one.
That was good. I'll give you points on that one. But yeah, there was just so many different costumes that was just really impressive. I think the female Groot was probably the best.
She'll be on a future episode of Behind the Cosplay, but I think if she didn't go in, she's already up by the time this airs, but I don't remember which gallery she's in.
Yeah, I can't remember it came out Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday. But yeah, it looks really good. I mean, it's just a lot of good hard work. She had lights on it for the branches. It was a good one. What about you, Adam? What'd you like?
Honestly, my favorite was Lord Business.
Yeah, that was good.
With the craggle and everything. Oh, pretty man. Good. That was legit.
That was like my first picture of the whole con.
Did you guys see the Morticia and
Gomez?
Yeah, thank you, Gomez. They were like, I stopped what I was doing and like wowed. It was so good. Then the Dragon Age Inquisition people were spectacular too. Like, they looked identical to the characters.
There was a really good Guardian
Carell. Sorry, Kitty Carell and Jim Butcher, Morticia and Gomez. Yeah, they're friends with Bob Mask. So, no, she's phenomenal. She's a pretty good cosplayer too around here. But I thought they were good. What's up, Tyler's mouthing stuff?
Sorry, say that again. Who was it? The names?
Kitty Carell, like Krell, uh-huh. And Jim Butcher.
Not the author.
Not that Jim Butcher.
Okay, I was confused for a second.
That's why
Blast
there. Gomez cosplay, like, that's amazing. How did I miss that?
I saw Jim Butcher a couple times at the show, and he was definitely not dressed as Gomez, and his hair was very long as it is to be.
He was at the show.
If we're going to talk about best couple cosplay, though, my vote definitely goes to the Brock Sampson and Molotov Cocktease. Because they were winning. It helps, number one, that they're Brock in a good, like, 6'7" and built. And you see Molotov Cocktease every now and then, but very rarely do you see someone go all out and wear the actual costume as it appears in the cartoon. So
I've never seen it before, so I had thank you so much for telling me what that was, because I had no idea. I was like, who are these people?
And her grabbing her, and him grabbing her ass.
In every picture. We have three or four pictures of them, and he's in every picture, so he's done a great job with that. but I think, here we go. I'll share my screen as well. There you go.
Yeah.
They were real good. Like, when you see them in person, it seemed even better. Like, the pictures just don't do them justice.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
You would see them from a distance and say, oh my gosh, they look like they're from the movie.
No, I think they were.
Unfortunately, no more Gomez. But yeah, I know. Sad faces, everybody. All right, so Tyler, what was your highlight of the weekend?
I don't know. Definitely a lot of really good cosplay. Part of it was, I think, one of the highlights was definitely getting to reconnect with people that we've made relationships with over the last like 2 or 3 years, re-interviewing. Like, we re-interviewed Jesse from Crit Success, and we interviewed them 2 years ago at their very first Comic-Con. We talked to the guys at 815 Comics, who have come a long way since we just talked to them like 6-7 months ago at Rocky Mountain Con. But a lot of people, you know, came looking for us because, oh, you guys were here 2 years ago, and seeing all the people walking around on the very first day that were wearing our shirts from the last 2 years. That's always kind of cool.
Yeah, just sharing our shirt, what our Deadpool shirt is with Geek Fuel. And one of the guys was like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen it around and stuff. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. All right, Aaron, your highlight of Denver Comic Con.
Me? Oh, well.
No, the other Aaron. On the
I usually don't get too excited about celebrities, as you guys know.
Whatever.
But I walked over to the celebrity area with Dr. Beth. And just kind of in a really creepy way, it wasn't even slightly not creepy, just ogled Gwendolyn Christie and Alan Tudyk and Rudy.
She hasn't called him Sean Astin since he's been announced not only for this show, but for Kansas City Comic-Con. Even.
Samwise Gamgee, it's freaking Rudy. But I literally felt like I was going to urinate in my cat suit.
Ew.
It was real good.
Sounds get like a kitty topic. Litter box.
Sounds like it a topic for your modern sex podcast.
But Gwendolyn Christie, like, even though I was standing, you know, about 50 feet back from her, because the way that the, like, press is set up, you can't even like do meet and greet with a lot of the celebrities at Denver Comic Con. I just couldn't believe how gorgeous she was in person. Like, she's gorgeous. And then Alan Tudyk looks, and Sean Astin, they both look like they did 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. I loved it.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was your I guess Tyler and Aaron, you didn't share what your favorite cosplay of the weekend was either. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Tyler. You did. Yeah, you're right. Okay,
Aaron, I liked that 6'8" cosplayer. All right. There was a cosplayer who was the biggest cosplayer I ever took a picture of. He was
from
quite
the Dragon
large.
Age group.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about him since you took the picture of him.
He made me uncomfortable.
Who was it?
He was quite large. I don't know. He was a giant guy with horns, and he didn't have a shirt on, and he was painted blue. Does anyone know who that is?
I can never remember his name, but I know
who he is. I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah. From Dragon Age. I'm sure some of our fans know exactly his name, but...
The Inquisition.
Well, I mean, in general, all of those people, I couldn't believe how good their costumes were. They were just spectacular.
It was a really good group. There was a number, and we actually talked about this weekend, I think, Bob. You brought it up to the amount of groups that there were that were really good group costumes too. Like, but there was a lot of groups this year, a lot of not even just pairs, but like larger groups. We saw Guardians of the Galaxy groups. We saw that Dragon Age group was what, like 10 to 12 people. I mean, we'll have a shoot of three people in Mortal Kombat together. That looks really awesome. I mean, there was a lot of good ones.
What I appreciate about Denver Comic Con is like the sheer number of costumes. Like, there are so many people in costumes. I feel like there's no elitism. Like, no one feels like I shouldn't be in a costume. Like, everyone is wearing a costume. It doesn't matter if it's store-bought. I see more store-bought and handmade and really amazing costumes at Denver Comic Con than any other show that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's definitely amped up over the years. That I used to say that about C2E2. C2E2 used to be, of all the cons we went to, the cosplay con, you know, the one where it was bringing it. But now I would say this year, Denver's even really just each year, there's just more and more. And it's, like you said, it's not only like where you could say people would say better, but it's, they said everybody has it, nobody's judging others to have the right to cosplay. There's people, there's kids in costumes. And like you said, there's, it's a range from elaborate Warbla, you know, foam builds that you talk about, like the giant, like when, you know, he's holding the Kraken, the, like the giant super glue, like tube, or like crazy glue.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that thing was huge and very obviously put a lot of effort into that to somebody who just has like a cape on with pajamas, you know, like it was with the face paint or something. Like, yeah, it was all around, and nobody, like I said, there was no, not seeing a lot of judgment, not seeing a lot of that. But I also like to how everybody seemed to be comfortable in their costumes. I made a comment about that over the weekend to a couple of y'all, that it's just, you looked around and people, no matter what shape or size they were, or what costume they were wearing, they owned it. They owned it, and they rightfully did. Yeah. And they were happy to be there and in that costume. And that was awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Did anyone else go look at the celebrities?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean,
I was over there once for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but didn't look around that much.
Can we talk about the fact that we got an interview with someone really cool? Can we talk about that?
No, we won't. We won't go into it. We made a statement kind of loosely on Facebook shortly after the show about it. Denver Comic-Con is great. The staff's great. I think Tyler brought it up. They've grown so quick, so fast that they've had to bring in outside groups to cover certain pieces. And it just doesn't always work the best like that. So the PR stuff at Denver Comic-Con is not always as strong as it is at other shows. So that's why we didn't do the panels this year. We don't do the celebrity interviews, the stuff like that. Which is still good because we have tons of other things we can do. And like we said, the show itself is for a great cause, and the volunteers that are directly affiliated with Denver Comic Con are fantastic. And that's another thing I love about Denver Comic Con. You talk about the amount of people who come up to us, the amount of volunteers at Denver Comic Con that have known about us since like day one that love us. Like, they're more so than any other show, the people that show up in the convention, volunteers written across their back at Denver Comic Con, than any other show, because they love us. They do. And even the people that are technically paid staff now even say, you know, Denver Comic Con wouldn't be the same without all your blue shirts roaming around the floor. And that's really an awesome thing.
Wow,
too,
that is nice to say. Nice to hear.
So that's a wrap for Denver Comic Con. You can continue to follow us. We'll have pictures going in. I know this will air on Friday. We've shared, we'll share about four galleries. We still have two more galleries for the site, another cosplay gallery of a lot of images going on to Facebook. And then of course, like we mentioned, about a dozen interviews to air. So a lot of great content, and we did get a handful, you know, multiple people brought it up. People coming to our booth dropped off some games. One I'm excited about, it's over here somewhere, that I don't know, maybe we can do it in Omaha, but we got to do it as a podcast, like where we're all together, because there's the wench drinking game. Like,
yeah, that looks like fun.
Thinking game, but I want to do that on a podcast. Like, I think that would be pretty awesome.
Yes, please. Well, yes. You better bring the equipment and some booze to a hotel room and we'll be there.
There you go. So,
I'll say, will these hotel rooms have the little mini bars?
No. Not under my name. No. Perfect. So besides Denver Comic Con, I did want to bring up briefly that today, when this airs, we will already be set up at O Comic Con in Omaha, Council Bluffs.
Woohoo!
First ever O Comic Con. We're pretty excited about it. So we are, of course, the image that we'll have shared throughout the week that I need to share pretty quickly here soon, actually, in real time, not even in recorded time, but of course, we at our booth, we will have a number of things. We'll have some more pro nerd gear. Hopefully, if I can remember, we'll get the cosplay bingo cards printed out and have some cosplay bingo going again. Of course, we'll have the audio equipment set up so we can get some recordings going on, whether it be our podcast or just even interviews with people. And then we have we have two booths set up, and one of them will have a special Throne of Games. Besides what's going on at the booth, of course, you'll catch us out on the floor, but also three panels, two of which will include a group of cosplayers, Aaron Lay, one of them. So on Friday, we're hosting, moderating the cosplay Q&A. Saturday, we're moderating the sexuality and cosplay panel. And Sunday, we'll be moderating podcasting do's and don'ts with a number of guests. And then, of course, the Bronze Thor Award will go to the winner of the cosplay competition sponsored and ran by Project Nerd. And then Saturday night at the House of Loom in Omaha, the after party, not the hotel lobby, but the after party.
Woo!
Anyway, so O Comic Con, big deal. We're excited. I'm excited. You're excited.
It's going to be fun.
It is. I always love being part of like a new show. You know, Rocky Mountain Con was in its second year last year. And in this third year, we're going to have more involvement and some big announcements. Of course, O Comic Con, we've been talking with the team behind it since the beginning. We've done a couple interviews. We've been part of the cosplay planning. We know very well the many cosplay guests that are coming, and we're excited for it. So really excited to be a part of that. And that's something, you know, Project Nerds always loves to do and has wanted to do more and more of at conventions, is be a part of that cosplay representation. So excited to be really a big part of that competition and the red carpet. And I was talking with him this week, so fingers crossed, we will have the equipment out there. Hopefully it'll work. But the goal is for us to be streaming the red carpet event. So Adam, get your dress. Or it's back on. You guys are.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to shave my legs.
Yep.
I'm gonna have to find a jacket or something.
There you go. So Tyler can't buy the Yetis because he's buying Adam a slinky dress. So.
Let's all get t-shirts with the tuxedos on.
I was only buying Adam a slinky dress, and if you were renting me a tux, I thought that was you.
Oh, I don't remember that deal.
No, you definitely said you would rent me a tux if I wore it.
We'll take a rain check on that. Sorry, Adam. No dress for you. Bob, I do love this idea. Adam, we'll need to talk because now we know somebody who has an in to threads. It would have to happen in a day or two. But I was thinking like the suit, but in the blue. And then instead of the bow tie, it'd be like the glasses logo.
Like a bolo?
Like the, but like our nerd like, glasses
like a
logo.
Bolo tie, yeah. With the glasses holder, yeah. We might be able to make that happen.
We would need a graphic designer to happen like before this ever even airs. So I don't know. We'll find out. Anyways, so O Comic Con, I know we're excited for it. We'll talk a lot more about it next week on what will probably be our season 4 finale. And of course, you'll see a lot of content come out of that show as well. A lot of good voice actors there too that I know Tyler. I think we're all excited for, but I know Tyler is really excited for some of them.
But Maurice LaMarche and Billy West are going to be there.
Yeah.
Rob Paulson's not going to be there anymore. And Rob Paulson, and that's the only celebrities I kind of wish I had gone to see a panel of in Denver was Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulson.
Better
known to most people as Pinky and the Brain.
Yep. Awesome. All right. So, Adam, you've been geeking out about something. It's caused you to put other games aside because something released an expansion pack. I'll let you elaborate for us.
Yeah. So Destiny's been out for a while now, and I think it came out in September. And then in February, they released their first expansion, maybe January, somewhere around there. That was called, I've lost it because I'm so excited about the new expansion, which just came out a couple weeks ago. We haven't really had a chance to talk about it, called The House of Wolves. And it really does a good job of kind of fixing some of the issues they had with their first expansion. So anybody who's played massive multiplayer online games kind of knows that you get these expansions and there are these levels, and the expansion allows you to get higher level gear, better weapons, better armor, stuff like that. And how you go from where you're at to the higher gear is always a bit of a contentious point, I guess you'd say. And certainly that was the case with the first Destiny expansion, where basically all the gear you'd collected became worthless because there was no way to upgrade it, and you had to go and do the one activity to get the best gear that you could get. So with the new one, they kind of fixed that, and they put out some more story missions. They're a little short, but very, very good. A lot of fun. There's some video game sound effects for everybody. And they included a couple new things with this one. So there's no new raid, which bummed some people out, but there is what they call the Prison of Elders, which is kind of a horde mode for those of you folks who played Gears and have played Destiny 2, I think, was the last time the first time Bungie introduced the horde style mode. So you just wave after wave of enemy that you have to fight back with the team.
Halo 2, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The first one they did the horde in was, wasn't it, what do you call it? ODST?
Or was it, I don't know.
ODST is the first one I remember Halo game having like a horde-esque mode, because it came out after Gears of War.
Yeah, Halo 2 had it. Had a style like that.
Not important. Important is that Bungie does a great job with horde mode.
They do a great job. It's fantastic. I played a little today. So it came out the week before we went to Denver. And then, I mean, here's how crazy I am into it right now, is that Friday before Denver, so a week ago from when you guys were listening to this, I had to work all day and then drive to Denver. So I had about 20 minutes to get home, pack, and get everything ready to go. And in that 20 minutes, I also happened to log into Destiny and go to the special items vendor to collect as much as I could, because he was only there Friday and Saturday and I was going to be gone. So I needed to make that happen. So really, really good expansion. And it's gotten a lot of people back into the game who had kind of drifted away from it. Cough, cough, Tyler and Iggy, you should be getting back into this now. That's kind of what I'm saying.
I don't even have PlayStation Plus right now.
I need to get my PS4 hooked back up again, but once I get hooked up,
at least my system's plugged in.
You just need to hope that I hook it all back up again and don't go and buy either Bloodborne or The Witcher 3, because I really want to do that.
I'm gonna play The Witcher 3 trailer for you, and then both you and Adam will just go buy it and play it right now, anyways. Because every time y'all saw that trailer, like, you guys are freaking out.
I don't think you're gonna see that trailer.
Oh, well, see, now there's another topic for discussion. The Witcher 3 trailer is apparently significantly different than the actual graphics in The Witcher 3, and people have gone to, like, places that are shown in the trailer, and they take a screenshot of the trailer and a screenshot of what their game is showing, and it is markedly different, let's say.
Oh,
people using the term downgraded.
Get over it.
Really there.
I mean, there's times when, like, there's a huge gap between, you know, expectations and delivery, and it's never going to be the same. And then there's times where it's bad, you know, like Aliens Colonial Marines was one where, like, that game became a totally different game. But PC Master Race aside, that people just got to come to terms with the fact that if you want to, AAA titles have to come out on all three systems, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And for that to happen, you're not going to get the cutting edge graphics that you want. Or they're not going to come out at the same time. You're going to get the two console versions, and you're going to have to wait for a PC version, and then the PC version will be better. But if you want them all to come out at the same time, it's just get over it. And it's still a beautiful game. It's just not like what they showed in the pre-rendered trailer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just feel like, I mean, I understand the disappointment, and I understand, but I just have never understood the vitriol about it. Like, I feel like we've reached a point now where people just need to expect that. Like, people don't just develop games for PC anymore. It's not a thing that happens. Yeah. And if they do, they're not AAA $60 titles.
But you know they're not. They're still going to bitch and complain.
Yeah, well, because we spent all this money building our giant PC. Why aren't you catering specifically to us? Because our market share is all of, 5%.
It's even that high?
Well, and probably. I think part of the reason that people are upset is because CD Projekt Red, who is the company that makes the games, like the first two Witchers were notorious for being crazy graphics spec hogs.
They were breaking machine games.
Yeah. Witcher, specifically The Witcher 2, was one of those games where that was one of those games you're like, well, can your PC run The Witcher 2 on Ultra? You know, like it was up there with like Crysis, where it was it was the benchmark for. If you can't run The Witcher 2, then you don't have a top-tier computer. But unfortunately, the days of PC game being king has been gone for a long time, and there are still companies like CD Projekt Red who still have tried to hold on to it. I think a lot of the upsetness was the fact that the past two games were such graphic powerhouses for their time, and CD Projekt Red has a history of really catering to PC gamers, and this time around, they didn't. So.
Exciting. I want to, so I'm ready, unless you guys are still talking about games, I was going to point out something exciting for Bob. I just scrolled across his picture of him holding up The Living, the DVD. He's grabbing it right now for our video stuff here. He's pretty stoked for that.
Backwards?
No. No, because it's doing the mirror
good
effect.
Good job, Bob, yeah.
So at the bottom of that DVD cover is Bob's review. They quoted him on the DVD cover for The Living. I can say that is the first time. Project Nerd's quotes have been used in a number of advertising things, but that is the first time we have made not only the cover of the movie, but we're also used in the Amazon.com description for The Living. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Kudos, Bob. Kudos.
Yeah. Can someone call somebody and explain to them that the N needs to be capitalized?
It's been a Project while. Nerd. The N is not capitalized.
I did not want to call them because they'd say, well, we'll screw you. We'll just take the whole thing off.
No.
It's one character.
It's already gone to print, dude. It's already dead. It's hard because our logo is technically in all lowercase letters. So, you know, yeah. I mean, at least they got the hyphen in there, right, yeah. Tyler?
That's true. They didn't get the hyphen.
And actually, I went to a video store last night when I left Denver before I, you know.
Imagine that. Bob needed to drive out of town after a 3-day convention, and he still managed to stop by a movie store. Just saying. Not surprised.
And they did have a copy of The Living there, so I was like, oh, should I buy this and have two copies?
When you checked out, did you say that?
No, I did.
Yes, by the way.
Did you order yours?
I have not ordered it yet because I won't be here this weekend for Omaha, so I'll order it so it shows up next week.
Okay,
I'll display it prominently on the shelf. Don't worry. I'll probably check it on Amazon right now to make sure they have the same price of Target for John Wick, and I may just order both.
About time you get John
Wick. I'll write our own quote on the front of John Wick.
Yeah, pretty much.
Badass, quote, Project Nerd.
I like that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Truth. Worthy of a sequel.
Definitely. So what about the box office this weekend?
What happened to it, Bob? What happened?
Do tell. Well, Tomorrowland only hit up like $41 million for the 4 days. On a holiday weekend.
And a bad weather holiday weekend. The majority of the Midwest had rain, so people weren't outside, you know?
Some people were at conventions and stuff like that.
100,000.
Yeah. Only $41 million. Second place was Pitch Perfect. I think it did like $39.5 million. Third place, Mad Max, which you have not seen yet.
That was targeted at me, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Tyler, have you seen it yet?
No, I'm going to go see it tomorrow.
So by the time this airs, Tyler has seen it. So that was targeted at me then.
Yes. And what was fourth?
Poltergeist.
Okay. And then fifth was Avengers.
Okay. He's going to
which just hit $400 million.
Worldwide?
Domestic.
No, domestically.
Where are we at worldwide on the Avengers?
$1.2 billion.
Okay.
Yeah, 1.277.
Did it already get its China release?
Yes. And it's like number one movie there ever.
Ever, yeah.
I think it's like it's already done like 200-300 million there.
So
wow.
I mean, it's up to number six all time in worldwide.
So I'm bringing it back. So speaking of a movie in China, this is a perfect segue.
I doubt it.
I wanted to do it. I just wanted to, since we're on video, I wanted to see Tyler's face and have a read. But it's the perfect segue to talk about that. For the first time ever, every single Star Wars movie will be released for viewing in China.
Wow.
That wasn't a very good segue.
Whatever.
That was just a bad segue.
Shut up, both of y'all.
It was bad.
It was clunky at best.
Very.
It wasn't even... But I mean, just because you say segue doesn't mean it's a segue.
Okay. Let's
that's amazing that they haven't shown in China.
I'm shocked. It said, now I only read the headline on it and it said first time all six mm-hmm. have been shown. So I don't know if certain ones have made it there.
I'm pretty sure the original, not the original three, but the prequels.
The newer ones, yeah.
Aired that, there. I mean, or not showed, were shown there at regular release times.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense because back in the day, back when Frankfurters used to cost a nickel, you know, there was a... they probably weren't showing those things there. So yeah, the original trilogy probably never made it to theaters out that way. So
yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
But Disney sees an opportunity and Disney capitalizes on that opportunity.
Disney sees billions of dollars is what Disney sees.
Oh yeah.
What good. When did the first one come out? When did episode four come out originally? 79?
76
or 77.
Was it that early? I thought it was later.
76. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, was it 70?
I'm just saying, because like if
76,
you
79, context, 80.
Like, that's still in the like the depths of.
It was 1980 like, was empire.
Chinese isolationism. Like, I mean, Nixon went to China in what, 72? So, I mean, they were still pretty not a part of the world
not
stage.
A crook. So. You know, I love Nixon just because of Futurama. You know, if we never had President Nixon doing his stuff, we would have never had that great character on Futurama who becomes the president again with the robot body.
That's because no body can serve more than two terms as president. So,
correct.
God.
Perfect. So,
I'll tell you one thing today. I mean, it sucks because by the time this airs, it would have already been, what, 3 or 4 days past. But today, the day that we are actually recording this episode.
The Point Break trailer dropped?
No. Oh, it's Tal Day.
Yes.
The day on which we celebrate all things Douglas Adams.
Don't forget to bring a towel. Yep.
I don't know if that's quite it.
No, that's, I mean, not that Tal Day.
Not even remotely that. It would
not that Tal Day?
Not that Tal Day.
Well, for those that are traveling across the galaxy, make sure you bring a towel.
If you spot a guy with a towel, that's someone you know has got his things together. Like, he knows what he's doing. He is a well-rounded traveler of the universe.
I like to point out that this weekend I did bring my own towel to Denver. I didn't use Iggy's and
good job.
Parents.
Good job. Yeah.
Well done, Bob.
Yeah.
We're proud of you, Bob.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that on this towel day, I purchased towels. So
good job to you as well.
I feel good about life.
Any other exciting Towel Day announcements from the team?
go home and watch Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or listen to one of the radio plays, or watch the TV show, or better yet, just go and read the book.
And you can do all of that not on Towel Day too.
I'm just saying, I recommend all of those things equally, and every version of
daily.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a little bit different than all the other ones, so there's something new for the one.
So it's like a whole, everyone's a whole new version.
Can it's I just true. Talk about me for a second?
No. Go ahead.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is like one of my top five favorite movies ever. Top five. Easy. I could watch it every single day. So
I was really excited. I thought you were going to say that it was one of your top five favorite books of all time. And then you,
which is okay. Like, I'm scared to read it.
You shut your mouth.
Was it on your, was it on your PN 100 list?
It was. I believe it was in my top five.
We're going to have to verify that. I'm going to call shenanigans.
I'm pretty sure
it was number four or five.
Was she the only one who put it on their list?
I don't think that's the case either. I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler had it, but I'm pretty sure I had it on.
I did not.
What?
It's okay. It's not great by any means.
That's because you read the book first and you're like, meh.
I read the book like 15 times before I saw that movie and all of the sequels.
Looking at the
radio play and the
television. You guys want to know if I read the book?
No, Bob, we know you didn't read the book.
I bet you didn't.
That's right. You're right.
Who has read the book other than me? Okay. At least one person. It's cultured in this room.
Well, shite. I'm going to read it tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow.
Aaron,
it's a quick read.
Aaron had it ranked number 8.
Ooh, told ya. Told you it was in my
top five.
Top five, yeah.
I mean, but it was close.
I had it ranked number 79.
What?
And nobody else of our, 13 of us that voted on it.
I don't think people know what good movies are, because that is one of the movies that I could, if I went to like a deserted island and I could bring a movie, that is one of them.
So we will give you our first
7 others higher than that she would take with her.
Yeah.
So if I give you our first insight into our Pro Nerd 100 list, which is a panel of experts and then us, we're not the experts, but a panel of experts joined our team.
I'm pretty expert, I think.
Vote on the 100 must see movies of all time. And we loosely defined must see. So that way people could kind of get creative with their list. We all then sent in the ballots. Everything was rated based on a 100-point scale, 100 down to 1 for yours, and then sorted to get a collective top 100. So the first insight that you're getting into that ProNerd 100 list is that The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy made it onto 2 ballots and finished 148th on the final ballot. So it did not crack our top 100, which will be released late this fall.
What's 101? Give someone a little taste there. What's 101?
101? All right, hold on.
And then see if we get mad about it.
Well, that's totally, because 101's a tough one, because there was that 3-way tie for 100, and we put the one in that had the most people vote for it. Mm-hmm. So not just the highest voting, but the most people vote for it. So we'll do this. I'll just tell you, there was a 3-way tie at 100 for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Groundhog Day, and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
And Ferris Bueller's Day Off received the most people voting for it. So that will be your number 100 on the list.
So Groundhog's Day isn't in the list? That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love I have a poster of Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the other room. But, man, you can't leap off Groundhog Day.
Right?
Well, we did. I mean, that's the list.
I wish so badly that I would have.
You're sure this was a list of experts? Like you said, experts.
I'm not going to share this on the air. We'll talk about this after we record. But if I was to tell you what was number 97, you would all be extra pissed that Groundhog Day didn't make it on there. The majority of you.
What is it?
Adam's wife would not be pissed. And, well, I hate to say, I mean, I like Groundhog Day, and I think I can't even say. I'm not angry about it, but I'm not happy about it.
What is it?
It's another more recent film.
Another Bill Murray movie?
Tell us.
I said we're not going to talk about it.
Tell us.
We're ruining
Why would you even bring that up? Like, if you're not going to talk about it on the air,
you're going to piss us all off.
This is good content right here.
Nobody even cares about what's 1 through 10. They just want to know 97
now. The podcast is for you to bring up things that you will then
Here's the thing now. Everybody's going to be waiting for our press releases on who this team is, on when the movies are going to be released. Yeah, everybody's going to run to that list
for another, like, 6 months.
Yeah,
give it to us. We want 97. Tell us.
All right.
I feel like if you're gonna build suspense, you got to time that Adam a little bit better.
Adam, did the recent release give it away for you?
It did not. It could have been anything.
All right. It is one Cloud Atlas.
Well, that's a good movie.
At 97.
Why wasn't that higher?
And then Groundhog Day at 101.
Ah, oh, frick. Well, no,
Tyler's just staring off angrily right now.
I think you just stuck it in there just because you wanted it in there.
No, I love Cloud Atlas. I'm happy with that. I'm surprised it's not higher.
Aaron and Adam actually gave it the highest. Actually, Adam gave it the most points out of all of us.
It's a very watchable movie, and I think more people should be forced to watch it. It's a must
Four people put it on their ballot, and four people put Groundhog Day on their ballot. Almost the same exact four, to be honest. No, one different.
Almost the same exact four?
Tyler voted for Groundhog Day and did not vote for Cloud Atlas. So
damn
you
right.
Would. You jerk face.
And here you go, Tyler.
Those aren't even.
Adam voted for Cloud Atlas and did not vote for Groundhog Day.
I didn't vote for either.
Yeah, you know that. That's funny because that actually just reminded me that I have, I got two new crit success rings this weekend, not just one.
Oh, because you have Adam's ring. That's right.
I do have Adam's ring, and Adam may or may not be seeing it ever again.
So, folks, in the near future, and this year, when we announce our Pro Nerd 100 panel of experts and we release the list, you will see why it destroyed Project Nerd and divided it. I don't know. We may not release individual ballots because of that. Tyler might murder somebody.
I think it's going to be the best list that's on the internet.
I mean, that's hard to say because sites. I respect Project Nerd a lot. I think the people that write for it and the people that they reached out to create this panel of experts are quality voters. However, there are lists like on IMDb or other sites that have had millions of people vote to get those movies into a top.
Yeah, but what do they know? They're just regular people.
If you go kind of look at IMDb's top 100, I would say they know quite a bit because it's a pretty solid list.
It's an okay list, but it's just regular people.
Project Nerd has
10 super awesome film critics and movie makers and stuff.
So May will forever be our highest month of podcast numbers because after this episode airs, Erin will have pushed away all our listeners with her elitist comments and our traffic's just going to dive now. Thanks, Erin.
I've never pretended not to be a movie snob ever.
Yeah, you're just a really bad movie snob.
Oh, man. That was wrong. I can't believe you said that.
I can't believe you called yourself a movie snob.
Well, I kind of am.
Listen, Tyler. Hitchhiker's Guide made her top five by being voted number 8 in her list.
Like, you're literally a movie snob only in your own mind. In everyone else's mind, you're just someone who has questionable taste in movies.
That's not true. I represent the majority of Project Nerd's audience, so.
Then you're not a snob, then.
Then I'm a snob.
You're part of the greater collective.
Yeah, because only awesome movie snobs like Project Nerd.
All right, folks. So besides the Pro Nerd 100, which, again, we'll have more information on it in the future, we got about 5 minutes here to wrap up episode 32 of the Nerdcast. What else we got on our plates?
Did you eat all that chocolate cake?
No, it's going, though. It's pretty far.
Ah, darn it.
Why did you want me to bring it to Omaha?
Yeah, would you please?
I'll save some for you. Was it good chocolate cake? Wait, hold on. Do you like that chocolate cake better than my chocolate cake? Because that's really upsetting.
Oh, Bob, you're on the spot.
It's chocolate cake.
Good answer, Bob.
I mean, your chocolate cake your chocolate cake definitely makes like the top five.
So hold on.
I might put seven other cakes in front of it, but
it's probably like the fourth or fifth best one I've ever had.
You guys suck so bad.
Hey, but that says a lot because that means Tyler would take it to a deserted island.
If given a choice of only one chocolate cake to take to a deserted island, yours would definitely be like my eighth choice.
Wow.
That's mean.
I think Adam's going to lose it over here. I don't know. he had to mute himself. He was laughing so hard.
First of all, that's because Adam knows that my chocolate cake is better than sex times seven.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. You're the Captain Chocolate Cake you make is possibly the best chocolate cake I've ever had. Better than sex.
What do you guys all think? Tyler, Adam, Bob, my Captain Chocolate Cake.
You're asking a group of guys if cake is better than sex. You're not asking a group of women this. You're asking a group of guys this.
Dr. Beth said that my chocolate cake was better than
sex. Okay, so once again, you're not asking a group of women. You're asking a group of guys, food or sex. And you really think the answer is going to be the same as what you got from Dr. Beth.
I'd take food over sex any day.
I'm looking at just the faces that I see around here, and I can already tell you, you're going to be standing alone on that.
They're stone faces.
They're all looking at you like that was the most stupid question you've ever asked.
They're not even going to say anything. Come on, guys. Now I feel like I can't even make cake.
It almost looks like Adam's screen is frozen.
Best chocolate cake ever made. Like, literally.
Oh, man.
The pinnacle of the confectioner's art. Worst sex I've ever had.
Gonna go with the worst sex you've ever had.
Wow.
Okay. Do you know why? Because it's still sex.
That, I'll remind you that not only is Aaron Lay's Captain Chocolate Cake amazing, and we all four stand behind that, we also have a new podcast called Modern Sex. And this good segue.
And they'll be doing a cake recipe later on.
Yeah.
Probably not. We might talk about aphrodisiacs, though. That's kind of a cool thing.
Chocolate.
At the beginning of this episode, this is the same episode we did open with and say we were targeting the more kid audience
but then we talked about cats in a politically incorrect way. He talked about kissing her cat suit. I mean, we missed the boat a while ago.
Okay. Good point. All right. Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to wrap us up. Of course, again, if you are anywhere near the Omaha Council Bluffs area, and you're listening to this the weekend of airing, definitely check us out over at O Comic Con at Mid America Center. We are at booths P1 and P2. If you can't make it there, or you've not been able to make it to any of the other amazing conventions we've been to so far. Well, no, the people don't live right next to every convention center.
Let's bring shame. I prefer
Anyways,
that.
You guys are killing our audience right now.
Since when?
The numbers are just dropping off. Like,
hey, we
said this. I think everyone.
They have to get to the entire broadcast to hear this shame them.
Anyone who listens to listens to our podcast on a regular basis is a well-informed, intelligent, and probably incredibly good-looking person.
Tyler has a good point there. But my point was,
from my personal experience, that's all true.
So my point was that the convention tour category on projectnerd.com will definitely help you see all the amazing things at Omaha, Denver, Chicago, Kansas City, and the many other shows to follow this year. So with that, I will wind us down. Any last words?
We bid you adieu.
All right.
Out of Mad Max.
There you go. Still. All right. So, folks, that's it for this episode of the Nerdcast. We will catch you once again next week.